ॐ मुखं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घायति गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम्। ऐ सल्यूट् कृष्ण द एम्बोडिमेण्ट् आफ् सुप्रीम् ब्लिस् बै हूस् ग्रेस् the lame scale mountains and the dumb become eloquent. May Krishna be the guide of our life. Om Shantihi, Shantihi, Shantihi. Peace, peace, peace. Bhagavad Gita. In the first chapter of the Gita, we find Arjuna was submerged in grief. The cause of his grief was the premonition of that Holocaust, that what will happen after this massacre, after this terrible war. Many people will die. Arjuna did not want to fight because he was afraid of his opponents. This fear came temporarily in his mind. Secondly, he was attached to his friends and relatives, so he was afraid of losing them. So grief and fear, these two things occupied Arjuna's mind. So he was trying to avoid the war. Krishna knew the result of that war. It was the war between the righteousness and the unrighteousness. So Krishna encouraged Arjuna to resist the unrighteousness. First, Krishna gave a talk on the Atman, the indestructibility of the soul. Then he talked about nishkam karma, unselfish action. Then he described the signs of an illumined soul. Arjuna wanted to know. As you remember, Arjuna asked four questions. Sthita prajnasya ka bhasha, samadhi sthasya keshava, sthita de kim prabhashita. Kimasita Brajita Kim. What is the sign of an illumined soul? Secondly, how does he speak and behave? The third question, how does he live in this world? Fourth question, how does he move around? Krishna replied his questions. How does he live in this world? Verse number 69. Yanisha sarvabhutana tesam jagrati sangyami yesam jagrati bhutani sanisha pashyatumini. This verse is very beautiful. In that which is night to all beings, the man of self-control is awake. And where all beings are awake, there is night for the Muni who sees. What is night to the illumined soul? That is day to the people of the world. What is day or brought light to the illumined soul? It is the night to the people of the world. What does it mean? It means the illumined soul is aware of God consciousness, which is beyond the reach of the people of the world. So, that is day to the illumined soul, that state of illumination. And that is night to the people of the world, because these people of the world are unaware of that reality, that supreme state. Unawareness akin to night. And vice versa. The illumined soul is completely ignorant about the world, what is going on around. Means the sense world, the world we live in. One day, a devotee brought a telescope to Sri Ramakrishna, and he wanted to see through telescope. The telescope was brought, and he tried to see the thing through the telescope. Later on, he said, "No, I can't. I get dizzy." You see, we need telescope to see the things which we do not see ordinarily with our eyes. But the yogi can see it. Sri Ramakrishna can see it, which is in other realms. That we find in when he first met to Swami, during one of his first meetings with Swami Vivekananda. Sorry, no, it is beyond he met Swami Vivekananda. In one day in Samadhi, his mind soared very high. He went to the transcendental realm. There he saw the seven sages who are meditating. Vivekananda was one of them. That vision shows that Sri Ramakrishna does not need any telescope to go to the higher realm. Yanishas sarvabhutanam tisam jagrati sanyami yasam jagrati bhutani sanisha pashyatu muni. Once Swami Vijnanananda, a direct disciple of Sri Ramakrishna, greeted a devotee, "Good morning," as we do. Actually, it was evening, but the Swami said, "Good morning." The devotee, I think it was, he was a monk, not a devotee. Anyhow, that monk said, "Good evening, Swami." Then the Swami replied, "Have you read the Gita?" We live always in the morning, not in the evening. When you are a spiritual seeker, there is no evening, there is no dark night. Try to live always in the evening, always see the rising sun, be illumined. You know, this Swami wanted to correct the Swami, but he turned the conversation into a different direction. There is no evening, no night to an illumined soul. The jnani sees oneness, Brahman, in all beings. You see, the way we see the world, that way the illumined soul does not see the world. Even ourselves, even we do not, all of us here do not see the world in the same way. Because we use the medium, Maya, for our perception. If your mind is clean, you will see the clean world. If your mind is pure, you will see the pure world. If your mind is impure, you will see the impure world. We are projecting through our minds. If you have blue glasses, you will see the world blue, black, black, yellow, yellow. We are all projecting according to our mental constitutions. What is right perception? The right perception is to see God in every being. If a person sees the two moons, that indicates that his eyesight is not good. He has some disease. Otherwise, he would not see the two moons or two cars or two men. Some glaucoma or some defect is there. So we see variety. It shows that we are ignorant. We see variety. When we are illumined, we shall see one. That is the final conclusion of Vedanta. See one. We see variety due to Maya. You may say, Swami, 99% people see that way. So do you think 99% people are wrong? To the 99% people, the sense perception, the world which we see through the senses, is real. And you say it is unreal. You ask those 99% people, what happens when you go to sleep? Does the world exist for you? No. At that time, you are neither the president of the country nor Governor Reagan. This name and form, this ego consciousness, dissolves into cosmic ignorance. It is a wonderful phenomenon. So you see, if you think this perception, this world which we see through, perceive through our senses is real, but it is not real. If it is real, it would stay all the time. In dream state, in sleep state, the sense perception does not function. So the world has really no existence. It is in the mind. The moment you get up, the world appears before you. He is my husband, he is my children, this is my home. You go to sleep, no home, no husband, no children. That you are doing every day. The moment you go to sleep, there is no husband, no wife, no children in your mind. So where is the world? The world is in the mind. That Vedanta teaches. How to banish this world from the mind? Then you will see God in everything, in every being. How to train that mind, which eventually will be able to see Brahma, the one without a second. We read in Plato's works that a man was looking, was seated facing a dark cave. And people are walking behind him. He was seeing the shadows on the dark wall of the cave. He saw those shadows many years. Those shadows became real to him. One day he came out and saw the real human beings. He could not believe it. To him, those real human beings are unreal. The shadow beings are real. This is called superimposition according to Vedanta. Vadhyaropa. Life after life. Even in this very life, all these things are superimposed. He is my husband, he is my wife, he is my children, he is my home. So it is in deep rooted. These impressions are in deep rooted, are deeply rooted in our minds. It is very difficult to remove. Show me, why should I remove? Well, because those things are unreal. Try to see God in your husband, in your children. That is the great lesson of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Atmanastu kamaya potim priyo bhavati. A man loves his wife not for the sake of the wife, but for the sake of the Atma, self. The wife loves her husband not for the sake of the husband, but for the sake of the self. The self which is within the wife, the same self is within the husband. In Atman, in spirit, we are one. That Vedanta teaches. Your husband and your wife are not two different existences. They are one. Experience that. Then you will be able to love your husband better. You will be able to love your wife better. That Vedanta teaches. After attaining that oneness, you come back to the relative existence. And you will be able to do better. You will be able to love your husband better. Your husband will be transformed as a divine being to you. Vedanta does not say give up, transcend. Be awakened. When Buddha was born, some sages came to see him. Buddha's father said to them, "My son is sleeping, please don't disturb him." "O king, this boy cannot sleep. This boy is Buddha, ever awakened, ever illumined. I have come to see him. We have come to see him." Even you find the day Jesus passed away, Jesus was caught by the high priests and the soldiers. He asked his disciples, "Do not sleep. Have you come here to sleep? Pray. Be awakened. What is night to the vast majority of human beings is day to the illumined man. And what we call day is night to the mystic. The world of our ego is the world of sense data. And as long as we identify ourselves with the body, we move in the sense world of samsara, that which is moving all the time. As long as we live in the field of the senses, as long as we live in the sea of flux, none of us can escape change, which culminates in the great change called death. The way, you know, the way we used to see the world few years ago, we do not see the world in the same way right now. The next verse. Apurjamanam achala pratishtham samudramapa pravishanti yadvat tadvat kamayam pravishanti sarvesha shantim apnauti na kamakami. As the river flow into the ocean but cannot make the vast ocean overflow, so flow the magic streams of the sense world into the sea of peace, that is the sage. This verse is also very poetic and very beautiful. Apurjamanam achala pratishtham samudramapa pravishanti yadvat. All these rivers flow to the ocean, but the ocean is never overflown. It does not transcend the shores. The ocean has a tremendous power of absorption. It can absorb a lot of water. So an illumined soul has tremendous power of absorption. Anger, jealousy, hatred, if anybody attacks that person, he does not get hurt. He is not perturbed. You see, the more and more you will be spiritual, the trifling things, ordinary worldly things, trifling things will not bother him. I had an interview with a couple. The girl who was going to divorce her husband. I said, "Why?" First time they said, "Well, I don't have a washing machine, so I will divorce him." I said, "For a washing machine, you will divorce your husband?" "Well, you know, I cannot go to the laundromat, you know, all the time with my..." They had a kid, small kid. Then second time again, as they came, I said, they were fighting. I said, what is the matter?" "Well, he does not help me to do the dishes, so I shall divorce him." "For this small reason, he will divorce him." If these little things will not bother you if you are spiritual. I remember in Boranagar Mutt, when Swami Abhedananda was studying the scriptures, and other brother disciples said, "Well, he is not coming to help our household work." Swamiji said, "Let him study the scriptures. I shall do the dishes, I shall do everything. Let my one brother be learned." You just see, this is a sign of an spiritual awakened, illumined soul. Forgiveness. Trifling things do not bother him. That means you are sound, spiritual. Your foundation is very strong. That Vedanta teaches. आपूर्जमानम अचल प्रतिष्ठम समुद्रमाप अद्भुत प्रविशन्ति सर्वे स शांति आपनोति ही अटेन्स पीस पीस हियर लिबरेशन ही अटेन्स ट्रिमेंडस ट्रांक्विलिटी सीरिनिटी कामनेस स्टिलनेस पीस हू दट इल्यूमिनेटेड सोल न कामो कामी not a person who desires for the world. This world has been compared with a thick forest. Once a man was attacked by a lion and he ran away to save his life. All of a sudden he found a well. He thought, well, if I jump into the well, perhaps the lion will not be able to kill me. So he found some creepers were hanging into the well. So holding that creeper, he went inside the well. And this hungry lion was watching from the top. And this man, when he was in the middle of the well, he did not jump all of a sudden. Holding that creeper, he was going down. He found that some alligators and snakes are in the water. So he was thinking, Lord, what shall I do? If I go to the top, I will be killed by the lion. If I go below, I shall be killed by the alligator, in the mouth of the alligator. Where shall I go? There is no hope except God. So that man was deeply thinking about God. This is called the world. What is the alligator? That is death. Is always swallowing, is always waiting to swallow us. The time, the devourer of everything. And what is the lion? The lion is our desires and doubts and worldly passions and all these things, you know, worldly things. They want to grab us. But neither we can go below nor we can go up. So we are hanging. This is called human life. It is beautiful, huh? The way they describe, very poetic. I remember in my young days, I started to read Vedanta philosophy. There they described the peace and happiness of the world. Once a traveler was passing through a desert. He was dead tired, the scorching sun on the top and the hot sand below. His feet was full of blisters and he was in terrible pain. He was gasping for breath. He was hungry and thirsty. He was trying to find out a shady place. All of a sudden he found a shade. So immediately he put his head under that shade and fell asleep because he was tired and exhausted. What is that shade? That shade was created by an angry snake with its hood. You know, you have seen big cobra. It raises its hood when it is very angry. So that shade came from the hood of the snake. And that man put his head there and was sleeping. That poor man does not know a single hiss of that snake will finish his life. That is the way. This is called the world, where we are trying to get a little peace. You know, this, some you may say, Swami, perhaps too much, you know, exaggeration. But it gives such a deep impression in the mind so that you will never be attached. This is called the world. You know, Vedanta is sometimes it gives heavy dose, you know, antibiotic. What to do? Just to give you a deep impression. You know, if you have really loved two things in this world, you are safe. One is faith in God, and secondly, the knowledge of unreality of this world. This world is unreal. If we have this knowledge, and if you have faith, there is no problem for you. You will be free from problems, tensions, worries, anxieties. This world is unreal. And if you have faith, you know, sometimes we misunderstand that perhaps the jnanis do not suffer. They suffer. They get pain too. You people get pain, ordinary people get pain, the jnani also gets pain. But there is a lot of difference. The jnani uses pain by from two standpoints. He sees pain, or he uses pain for beneficial use. How do you know? The first is, he thinks that pain or suffering which is coming to me due to my prarabdha, my past karma, so this pain will finish those past karmas. One. The second, he thinks that this pain will eradicate, will destroy, will take away, remove the ignorance. Let me give an example. Here is a big piece of rock. It does not have good shape. It is ill-shaped. But a sculptor imagined a beautiful form of Christ or Madonna on that piece of rock. So he took a hammer and a chisel and started to hit that rock. In the beginning, he hits very hard. And when that piece of rock takes a beautiful shape, he starts to hit slowly, 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 slowly. When the face comes out, body comes out, hands, fingers, he hurts very slowly, hits very slowly. Gradually, gradually, when that whole shape takes, you know, whole shape comes into existence, he uses sandpaper and later on paint and all these things, because at that time it is a final product. Same thing with that heat blow, or all these things come to us because it will take away all of your of our ignorance from the heart. Our inner being will come up. Our Atman will be revealed. It is there. It is covered by the five sheaths. So these sufferings cut those sheaths and penetrates inside. And later on, we see our own self. Please remember, God created this beautiful world, which we call golden world. Out of what? Out of Maya. His magical power. What is Maya? Ignorance. What is ignorance? Desire. What is desire? Suffering. Pain. So God created this world out of ignorance. But there is joy also, if we know how to get it. Vaishatik Maya is full of joy. Rajas and Tamas are full of pain. Vedanta teaches, go to Shattik Maya, meditate, pray to God, lead spiritual life. That is called Shattik Maya, good Maya. Meditation is also Maya, is also Maya. So Vedanta teaches, hold Shattik Maya and transcend Rajas and Tamas, which is full of misery. Shattik quality is full of happiness, full of joy. That Vedanta teaches. Hold on to Shattik Maya. Love God, meditate on Him. Achala Pratishtham. Sri Ramakrishna gave another example. In the ocean, you may see a huge boat. You may see tiny yacht. When there is a storm, the tiny yacht sinks, but it cannot stand that cyclone. But the big boat gets a few jerks, and again, it becomes calm. It does not sink. The second word is achala pratishtam, established in motionlessness. This is the complete stillness of Brahman, the complete motionlessness of the Supreme Reality. In order to be established in the changeless, immutable reality called God, we have to still the turbulent mind completely. If you want to see what your mind is like, go stand on a high parapet overlooking a rocky seacoast when there is a storm. The only creatures who enjoy this maelstrom are the sea lions. They float along with the waves. And when a giant one comes, they all jump up to ride on it with joy. But being made in the image of the Lord and having been brought into the human context, our glory is to play in the sea that is still. The mind is often compared in Sanskrit to the sea, ever moving, ever rolling, ever restless. But even though there are turbulent waves on the surface, in the depths of our consciousness is the divine stillness, which, through the grace of the Lord, we enter as our meditation deepens. The Jnani is not deluded by Maya. He creates blazing fire of knowledge within his heart. And if any desire and doubt enters there, immediately is consumed by the fire of Brahman. Darkness cannot reach the sun. So the desires and doubts, ignorance, cannot go near the luminous soul. Vishaya kami shanti nai, na kamo kami. A person who desires for the world has no peace. There is no end of peace. There is no end of desires. Now Krishna answer the fourth question of Arjuna. Brajito kim? How does he move in this world? How does the illumined soul move in the world? Vihayo kaman sarvan pumang sharati nispriha nirmamo nirahankara sa shanti madigacchati. That man who lives completely free from desires, without longing, devoid of the sense of I and mine, attains peace. Vihayo kaman. Kaman means desires. Sarvan, all desires. Pumang charati nispriya, that person who moves through this world without caring for body consciousness, body idea. Nirmamo nirahankar. And at the same time, he is free from attachment. Nirahankara, without ego. That person only attains peace. Nispriho. This man wrote a very beautiful commentary on that particular word. To be nispriha is to be without sensory craving, without any desire for satisfaction from the outside. One by one, each of these desires has to be given up. This is why it takes a long, long time to attain spiritual awareness. If we had only 5 desires, it might take us just 5 weeks. But we have an almost endless number of desires, for the nature of the mind is to desire, to desire, to desire. Most of us seem to believe that if we could make a lot of money or win prizes or have our portrait unveiled in the city hall, we would be happy. I have even heard people insist that the day they made their first million or the moment the curtain fell from their portrait, they were very happy. Patanjali is a wet blanket to such people when he explains that what really happens on these occasions. He says, we are happy because one desire has temporarily subsided and there is not time for another desire to well up in our mind. The mind factory is closed down for the weekend. Happiness comes when the mind is at rest. We can all attest that when one desire has been fulfilled, there is an interim period of peace before another desire rises. I do not deny that this temporary satisfaction can be very pleasant. But when we yield to one desire, the next one is usually stronger. And if we continue to give in to selfish desires, the interval between them will become shorter and shorter until there is hardly any respite at all. A close relationship exists between the constant desire for things outside ourselves and the drain of vital energy. Window shopping is considered an inoffensive relaxation. Maybe it does not affect our bank balance, but it does affect our vital wealth. When you look at things and want to have them, or look at people and envy them, vitality is ebbing out. To become nispriya, we must vigilantly ask, should I go after this? By asking this question in every situation, we will gradually learn which things are really necessary and which are only cumbersome. Then Sri Krishna adds, Nirmamo, just as the sense of I can be very painful and can cost us our best friendships, so can the desire for mine. In politics, this is particularly true. War breaks out when the concept of mine becomes outrageously inflated. All of us can be caught in mass estrangement. When Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God, he is telling us, as does Sri Krishna, that you and I can help bring friends, communities, countries, and enemies together by the example of our personal lives. Nirmamo should also remind us that the Lord gives us all the sources and life of the earth to care for as trustees. Sri Krishna is the landlord and we are poor tenants. When we have done to this apartment, no human landlord would tolerate. Just try to misuse the apartment you are renting. Fill it with smoke, pollute the water, punch holes in the walls, smash the windows, and see how fast you are evicted. The Lord, though, keeps on putting up with us. He does not even collect his rent. The rent he expects from every one of us is that we live for other people. And very few will pay so much. We want to live for ourselves and we expect him to subsidize our selfishness and our self-will. Yet nothing on earth is ours. Everything is the Lord's. We have always assumed we could use as much air as we like, as much water as we like, because there would be an unending supply. Now we know our resources are limited and must be used carefully. When we abuse our environment, our water and air, which is the cost of future generations. Nirahamkara means free from self-will, ego. I have just been reading the life of St. Francis of Assisi and I am captivated by the saint's capacity to extinguish his self-will. Jesus says that he who wants to find himself has first to lose himself. And the Sufi mystic Ansari of Herat tells us in glorious language, know that when you learn to lose yourself, you will reach the beloved. There is no other secret to be learned, and more than this is not known to me. Nirahankaro, don't be proud of your learning about your wealth, about beauty, about strength, about power, position. be humble. That Krishna said. Brajito kim vihayo kaman sarvan yapuman spirit charati nispriya nirmamo nirahankara sa shanti modigacchati. He gets peace. Who is desireless, free from attachment, free from craving, free from ego. The last verse, that is the last verse of the second chapter of the Gita. Isha brahmi sthiti partha nainam praipa vimushati sthitva samanta kaleopi brahma nibbanam richati. This is the supreme state. Attain thou this and pass from death to immortality. This is called the state of Brahman. O Arjuna, even if you touch this state, even for a moment, at the time of death, no more rebirth for you. You will be illumined. You will be free forever. Nirvanam. Nirvanam has two meanings. One meaning, Nirvanam means, Nih means not. Banam means coming and going. Means no more birth and death. Another meaning of Nirvanam means, you have seen the flame of the lamp. If you blow it out, it is gone. Where has it gone? Into the void. That is the way Buddha explained Nirvana. Shunyam. Into the void. Then according to Vedanta, that is Purnam. You merge into the fullness. I shall tell you these two approaches, but the experience is the same. Let me give an example. Here is the boat. Buddha is a passenger and Shankara is also a passenger. The boat left the harbor and it went into the deep sea. Both Shankara and Buddha did not see the shore, trees, nothing. They saw water and water. Buddha looked up and saw that blue sky and said, Shunyam, Shunyam, Shunyam. Everything is void, everything is void. And Shankara looked downward and said, Purnam, Purnam, Purnam. Everything is full, everything is full, everything is full. But both are in the same boat. Experience is the same. One gave a negative interpretation, another gave a positive interpretation. Vedantic interpretation is positive. I am Brahman, that is Vedanta. Not I am void. Here is a glass of water. You may say it is half full. The water is half. You can say this is half full or half empty. You can say bring that half empty glass to me. I can say, please bring that half full glass to me. Vedantic approach is positive. Hey, bring that half full glass to me. Just see? That same positive aspect of life was taught by Ramakrishna and Vivekananda. Very positive, very pragmatic. So it is very useful to the present age. Isha Brahmi Sthiti Partha. No, you know, it is a beautiful feeling. Brahmi Sthiti. Do you know Brahmi Sthiti? What is Brahmi Sthiti? Yet now, O Arjuna, you are established in Brahman. That Krishna wants to say, you are now Isha Brahmi. This is the state of Brahman. If you have experience of all these stages which I explained to you, then you are established in Brahman. You know, in the evening, all of a sudden, it struck me. There is a mantra in the Upanishad. Na tasya prana utkramante brahmaivasam brahmepyeti na sapunuravartate na sapunuravartate. There is a mantra in the Upanishad. Na tasya prana utkramante. When an illumined soul dies, his prana, the vital force, does not depart from the body. Where does it go? Iha iva prabiliyante, it merges here. Na sa punaravartate, he does not return, he does not return, he does not return. Emphatically, do you know why do they say twice? Means I emphasize, I am sure he does not return. You know, I was thinking very deeply. When Sri Ramakrishna was in Samadhi, the doctors put a stethoscope on his heart and could not find the heartbeat. So clinically, that person is dead. Don't you think so? He has no heartbeat. He is dead. He is supposed to die within 3 minutes if there is no blood circulation. Huh? Your brain will be paralyzed, you know, it will not function. So he is supposed to die, but that man again came back and was singing and dancing. Medical science, the Western science and technology could not explain this mystery. You know, I read in one commentary, one person made a very beautiful remark. At that time, breathing, our external breathing stops. It is true. Heartbeat also stops. But where does the prana, the vital force, where does it go? Do you know where does it go? It enters to the Sushumna channel. It is Muladhara, the bottom of the backbone, and this is called Brahmarandra, the top of the head. It is this prana rotates through that Sushumna channel and keeps the body a little warm. The life force remains in the body, but your medical science cannot catch it. Samadhi cannot be detected by medical science. When you are in deep samadhi, or you know, you can feel that your heartbeat is slow, very slow. In deep meditation, you can feel it is very slow, very slow. When your mind is calm, you will find as if you are not breathing at all. You can put your hand near the nostrils and feel that way. You are not breathing at all. So it sounds very clear to me, you know, that how this prana moves through the Sushumna channel, through this Meru Pranta, through the backbone. That Sushumna channel, it works from the Muladhara, from the bottom of the backbone up to the top of the head. It rotates. That prana does not leave. It merges into Brahman. Why does it move? Why does it go from this body with through externally? Do you know why? Because you have a desire. To fulfill the desire, the prana leaves the body and takes another body to fulfill other desires. It is very, because you see, it goes externally. Means I have still desire for the external world. Do you understand? But it goes inward. Means I have no desire for the world. It merges to the Atma. How? Take a drop of water and sprinkle on a red hot iron. How does it sound? Immediately it evaporates. So this individual soul merges into God consciousness, into Brahman. It is very blissful. Don't think that, oh, complete annihilation of my ego. Where shall I go? There is no hope for me. Oh, I shall not be able to enjoy this world anymore. But if you have that feeling, then you will have to come back. Take another body, finish your enjoyments, again go. In this way it will continue. But if you are disgusted with this world, automatically it will go with you. You know, by force you can make a person spiritual, religious. By force you cannot make a person to love. You love me, I shall grab you, you know. You must love me. You cannot get love through force. Through force, you cannot make a person spiritual if it does not come from within. Love is a spontaneous force. It comes from within. I love you. Sincere, I love you. This feeling must come within. Otherwise, it, you know, you cannot buy love. Same thing, spiritual life. It, that hunger for God, it must come within, from within. I met a devotee in California. He had lung cancer and it was developing so fast that his whole body, It was developing very fast. His whole body swelled. So I went to see him. I saw they punched, you know, through this throat. They put a tube. That is the way he was breathing with oxygen. This portion, I think, was not working. And food also was going through the tube. Then the nurse said to that patient that, Mr. So-and-so, here is your minister, has come to see you. And that nurse told me that he cannot talk, but he can hear. He can respond, but he cannot talk. And he cannot see. Your body swelled so much, his eyes are even closed. I have never seen such patient, you know. So I called him, hello, I'm calling his name. Do you remember Sri Ramakrishna? Do you remember Mother? Swamiji? He was a great devotee of Swamiji. Another brahmachari, another young monk was with me who drove me. I said to him, brother, this man is an amazing person. This last verse of the Gita came to my mind immediately. Esha brahmi sthiti partha nainam praipa bhumujyati. When a person attains this state, he never gets deluded by maya. Sthittvaisam antakaleopi. Even at the time of death, if a person touches this state, he attains final liberation. Even at the time of death, even for a moment. Look, this man is dying. But his mind is in God. He remembers. I have never seen such, you know, I have seen many persons dying in my life, but I have never seen such a person. He was a household devotee, never married. He had a printing press in Los Angeles. I went to see his place. He said, Swami, everything belongs to Sri Ramakrishna. I am the caretaker of this press. He is the owner. Wonderful person I met. He was one of the ashars of Halu Temple. He was dying. And that painful, you know, Lanka. His mind was in God. I repeated Lord's name several times. I think it was 3rd of July, 1977. 5th of July, I left for India. I think 6th or 7th, he passed away. But I still vividly remember that person remembered God very well, even at the time of death, at the time of crucial pain. You know, if you don't have a spiritual background, you cannot hold that tempo till last. It's an amazing example I had in my life. Brahma san brahma piti attains Brahma. Do you have any other questions? Any questions? Sure. What does it mean? This world is created out of Maya, magical power of Brahma. That Maya and ignorance, Prakriti, all are synonymous terms. Ignorance, as if you know, do you know that one has become many? Let me give an example, you will understand. A spider makes a net out of its own thread, or you may call that, you know, the thread which he makes the net. So this world created this universe out of himself. What is that himself? Maya. What is Maya? Three gunas. Sattva, Rajas, Tamas. This whole world is nothing but three gunas. The three gunas, the combination of those three gunas, the total of effect of those three gunas is called Maya. What are those gunas? Gunas means knots. These gunas bind the soul. So these gunas actually bind us. If we are bound, then we get pain. If we are free from the gunas, we are not in pain. So who gets bound? He who is ignorant, who is connected with these three gunas. So Vedanta teachers cut those three gunas, be established in the self, in the Atman, which is free from gunas. That is called Maya and Mukti. Maya means you are in the domain of the gunas, and Mukti means in the domain of the spirit. So Vedanta wants to separate Maya and Mukti. And these three gunas are nothing but pain. But Swami Shatya Guna is full of happiness. It is happiness, no doubt. Rajas and Tamas are full of pain. We admit that. Vedanta gives another beautiful example. Suppose you are tied by an iron chain and she is tied by a gold chain. She may in the jail, you know, she says, look how beautiful I am. My chains are all made of gold and diamond. Well, that is equal. You are also bound. That gold chain is equally strong to bind you. You are thinking this fellow is inferior because he is tied with an iron chain. So in compared to that supreme peace or Brahma, this Shanti, supreme peace, a worldly peace, temporary peace, which we get from Sattva Guna is nothing. That Krishna wants to say. Param Shanti Madhi Gacchati. You attain that supreme peace, unadulterated bliss, whole bliss. You know, in worldly happiness, suppose 15 days you are in high mood. But in the 17th day, perhaps you are again in depression. So you see, there is ups and downs in this worldly plane. But in spiritual plane, it is one current. There is no ups and downs. That is the difference. So God created this whole universe.